We're continuing our studies in the book of Hebrews. And we'd invite you to get a bulletin if you didn't get one when you came in. In the bulletin there are notes that we will be following. So I just thought I'd mention that to you. We're studying in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. And I want to read verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 13, verses 8 and 9. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. This verse 8 has been taken, I believe, out of context in many Christians' lives and their hopes. When they quote 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, they're thinking in terms of healing. Jesus Christ healed in the New Testament, early New Testament days, and so therefore we can be guaranteed that He will do the same today. I think the context of this verse, along with verse 9, and as well as the whole book of Hebrews, is teaching us that Jesus Christ has the same objective today that He had when He began His ministry here on the earth. Because Jesus Christ is not the same today as He was when He was here on the earth. And when He comes back in the kingdom, He will be a king. So His office in that day will be different than today. And I brought this out in John 4:19. It says, "The woman said unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet." In the ministry of Jesus Christ in the New Testament days, he was a prophet. He was a teacher of God's commands and a revealer of His will to the nation of Israel. In Mark 2:13 it says, "And He went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitudes resorted unto Him, and He taught them." Jesus was a teacher. And He was looking for those who were willing to listen. In John 8:2, it says, "Early in the morning He came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them." Jesus was a ready teacher. He was prepared to teach. And He was willing to teach them in the morning. He was willing to teach them all day. In fact, He taught them for 3 days in the wilderness, and they were hungry by then, and He fed them. In Mark 1:22 it says, "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." Jesus knew what He was teaching, and He taught them the truth without hemming and hawing around. I'm a hem and haw at times because of the weakness I have in the flesh, but there are some things that I just don't have the answers for. But Jesus had all the answers, and He taught them as one with authority. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is not on the earth teaching. The Holy Spirit is the one who is doing the teaching today, but Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. Hebrews 3:1 teaches us, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ is our high priest. We go to Him so that He will intercede on our behalf. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we need that desperately in our daily walk. So He is our high priest today. One day He will become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ will change his position or his office from that of being a priest to that of being a king. And so he will one day be the potentate. Satan is still the god of this age. Satan is still ruling over the nations today. Jesus Christ is not ruling and reigning today. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, talking about the earthlings, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. When he becomes Lord of lords and King of kings, the called, chosen, and the faithful will be with him. So he is not ruling and reigning today. We're not with him. But there will be one day when we will be with him and rule and reign with him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, if we suffer or endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. So we are encouraged to be faithful to the Lord at this period of time when he is our high priest, that one day we will reign with him if we endure. But if we deny him, he will deny us. Not denying us that we are his child, but denying us the positions of being a lord or a king. In Revelation 20, verse 6, it speaks of the millennium. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, or the best, or the chief resurrection, is a better translation of the word first in this context. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're waiting for the day when Jesus Christ will reign as king. So when we see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, or for the ages, we're not talking about the fact that he is changing his offices, but there is something that he hasn't changed, and I want us to see that this morning. One purpose, I believe, that Jesus had in being the same from the ages, from the beginning until the ages in the future. And that has to do with the coming kingdom. You remember when the Godhead created Adam and Eve in the garden? Well, he created Adam first, and he put Adam over and giving him dominion over the earth. Satan at one time had dominion over the earth, and he failed. He sinned, and he was disqualified from that position. So God created Adam and placed him in the garden and gave him dominion over the earth. And that is his purpose even today. In John 5:30, we see that Jesus, when he came, had one thing in mind. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Jesus was seeking to do the will of the Father. There are blessings for us if we will do the will of the Father. And we'll see that in just a moment. In John 4, verse 34, it says, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Not the meats that other people are consumed about, that are not profitable for them, as we read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9. There are those that are caught up with meats that have not profited them. Jesus' meat was doing the will of him that sent him and finishing his work. What did Jesus tell those at the Sermon on the Mount to do? What was the first thing to do? Well, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing that should be on our list or on our priority list. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever on that priority. Now this verse is not telling us to get saved. Seeking the kingdom is not salvation. Seeking the kingdom is to rule and reign. This is for only those who are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. This message is for the saved that have been called. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things, that is, the meats that we need, the food that we need, will be added unto us. In Matthew 7:21, we see a little more light on this. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see the significance of doing the will of the Father? It means that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. If we're born from above, if we are placed into the family of God, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom. Why wouldn't he see the kingdom? Because he will be in everlasting fire. He will be in the lake of fire from the ages unto the ages. But if you're born from above, you get to see the kingdom. But did you know just being saved does not mean that you will do the will of the Father? You can become disobedient. We've all done it in the family. We've all been children, and we've all disobeyed our parents. And just being an adult child of God does not mean that we will be obedient to Him. But if we will do the will of the Father, we know that we are seeking to enter into. What does it mean to enter in? It means to rule and reign with Christ. That is what it means to enter the kingdom. And we are to seek first the kingdom. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it takes doing the will of the Father. In Hebrews 13, it says, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, not with meats. Today there's much confusion. But we are not to be confused. What is our priority? What is our objective? Seeking first the kingdom. Seeking first to rule and reign with Christ. Seeking first to do the will of the Father, that we might enter the kingdom. In Luke 12:29-31, it says, seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. Don't be confused. It's not meat, it's not drink. Don't be confused. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. What are they seeking first? Money, power, prestige. That's what the world is seeking first. Making a living, making more money. What should be our priorities? Ruling and reigning with Christ, doing the will of the Father. Was that the attitude the Lord Jesus Christ had, and that He has never changed? He is always the same on that, and that is to do the will of the Father. He continues and says, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the priority. Because we know that the kingdom of God in Romans 14:17 is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When we think about eat and drink and clothes. We can lose peace and we can lose our joy, particularly when we lose our job and are stressed at different times because of difficulties that come our way. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, because we are to seek first the kingdom, we are to set our affections on things above. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." He is our high priest. Set your affections on things above and not on things here on the earth. That's one of the telltale signs about where our priorities are. Are we setting our affections on heavenly things or on earthly things? Hebrews 11:16, it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Hebrews 11 is the chapter that deals with those who are pleasing God. And those who are pleasing God are those who are seeking a heavenly kingdom, a heavenly city. In fact, we need to be aware of the fact that we can be confused and tossed to and fro, being of doubtful mind, but God has provided for the church, teachers, so that we would not be children tossed to and fro. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." There are many that are carried about with divers and strange doctrines. But we need to clear our thoughts, focus our attention on ruling and reigning with Christ. In Acts chapter 17, verse 21, Paul relates the story of his experience in Athens when it says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new." And that's what's going on around us today. We want to hear something new. And that even happens in Christian circles as well. But there's nothing wrong with growing in grace and in the knowledge of Him. There's nothing wrong with that. We have not arrived as far as the knowledge of the Word of God is concerned. And so we continue to study the Word. But there are people that are wanting to tell or hear something new, and those in Athens were no different than we are today. But we are to beware. Colossians 2, verse 6 through 8 tells us, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. As ye have been taught, abound therein with thanksgiving." Rooted and built up and established has to do with doctrine, teaching. It's through the teaching of doctrine that we find stability. Because we need to be aware of the fact that some man could spoil us. In verse 8 it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." I heard this week about a doctrine that is being taught in some areas that Mary, the Virgin Mary, was was not conceived by man. She was virgin born as well as Jesus Christ being virgin born. So there's always something new going on, and it's strange what you can hear and what people believe and promote. So we need to be aware of the fact that someone can spoil us. What can keep us from being spoiled? Doctrine, the truth that we have studied and that we have been taught. This is what keeps us from being led astray. That's reason why it's so important to hear a Bible lesson on Sunday and whenever, and then re-study what you've heard to confirm it, check it out. By doing that, you make it your own, and then you too will not be deceived. So there is philosophy, there's vain deceit, there's tradition, and these are all out of the world and not after the Lord. When we talk about meats, which we have talked about, which this verse 9 says, in Hebrews 13, talking about meats that are not profitable, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, it says, there are those in the last days that will forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Isn't it something that people are going to be consumed about what you can eat and what you cannot eat? We just need to be aware of it. And we need to realize the fact that these are doctrines of demons, which tells us in that same passage. In Colossians 2:20, we again are warned about the ordinances of men. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using. These are after the commandments and doctrines of men. And we can sure determine what is after Christ, and by comparing what we hear from a man, if it's the truth or not. Which things indeed show a wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, and to the satisfying of the flesh. I'm reading this verse 23 in a way that will help you to appreciate what all of these things will do for you, but it will not provide you with any honor. That's what this verse 23 is saying. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglect of the body to the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, if you can touch not, taste not, handle not, you know what you get to do? You get to look down on those who touch and taste and handle. And you feel better than they. That I am better than they. Reminds me of the fellow who said, I'm glad I'm not as this publican, you know, this sinner. And you know what? Who went down to his house justified. The man that said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But if we are involved in meats, there will be no honor in that, because it's all that does is satisfy the flesh. Now, again, I'm pointing out the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and for the ages when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to rule and reign with Him. You know, if you are going to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom, you're going to be doing what pleases the Father. You're going to be doing the will of the Father. That was Jesus' priority. That was His meat. He fed on that. And He did it. And one day He will rule and reign over the earth. And we too will rule and reign with Him, if we are seeking first the kingdom of heaven. We need to appreciate the fact that the Lord's coming is near. James tells us in chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Verse 9 of Hebrews 13 tells us, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. What does grace provide us? It provides us with the power of Christ. Grace provides us with peace. And if we have the power of Christ, if we have peace, we're not going to be consumed with things that are not important to God. What's important to Him? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we take care of the things that are important to Him, He will take care of the things that are important to us. And what is important to us? Godliness with contentment. That is, what's important to us? It's food, clothing, and shelter. If we take care of what's important to Him, we will have what we need to live. Food, clothing, and shelter. So, we need to establish our heart. Why? The Lord's coming is close. We're waiting for the Lord's return, and it's closer than it was in Paul's day, and I believe that His return is imminent. Isaiah 33:6 tells us, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, His treasure." You know, it takes the fear of the Lord for us to put our priorities in order. If we have no fear of the Lord, then we are living a lawless life. We don't have to be afraid of the Lord, but we need to respect Him, that one day He will be our judge, we will stand before Him, and we will give an account for the way we have lived. And we need to ask ourselves, are we putting first what He taught for us to put first? And that is to seek first the kingdom. Now, wisdom and knowledge will provide stability. We need knowledge, and then we need wisdom on how to apply it. And that will provide us with stability. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We need to guard our hearts. Our hearts are deceitful, and our hearts can lead us astray. I've been led astray more than one time in my life because I trusted my heart. So you just need to be careful and not let your heart lead you astray, because we know out of the heart are the issues of life. Jesus said unto them in John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." You do that, you'll rule and reign. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added." That's our priority number one, seeking first the kingdom. Seeking to be qualified to rule and reign. And we do that by doing the will of the Father. Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, or for the ages. His priorities haven't changed. He told us what His priorities were when He said, "Seek first the kingdom." He told us not to be distracted by other doctrines, but to press toward the mark for the prize of the above calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to establish our hearts. We need to know what His plans and purposes are, and then align our hearts with that. And to appropriate His grace so that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. May the Lord help us to appreciate the fact that what the Lord is trying to help us to understand is that His priority is that of you and I ruling and reigning with Him in His coming kingdom. And He knows that we can disqualify ourselves if we turn to living in sin. If we don't endure, we will not reign with Him. If we endure, we will reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to appreciate the priority that the Lord had. He was unwavering when He was here on the earth, to doing the will of the Father that He might enter the kingdom. He is unwavering as our high priest today to help us to do the will of the Father, that we might enter the kingdom. And we're thankful, Lord, that one day when He comes to rule and reign, the called, the chosen, and the faithful will be with Him. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to be faithful in doing the will of the Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.